By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another morning with Madani Channel. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. The program's name is Rise and Shine. This is brought each and every single day of the week, Mondays to Fridays. Every single day, my dear viewers, we have various topics, mashallah, mashallah. So many topics we have, and today we have another. Now, every day I say today we have a beautiful topic. And this is one of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam. Really, it's so beautiful. Now, when you read about our deen, when you read about our religion, and any topic, and there's so many topics we've covered, and sometimes we cover a topic for a second time, but whenever we cover it for a second time, alhamdulillah, there's so much more to be speaking about. And whenever you read any topic, when you read about the deen, really, you one thing you enjoy reading about the deen. You actually begin to enjoy it. You're learning about the deen, you're learning about the Quran, you're learning about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And many a time you are quite amazed. Really, many a time whilst you're reading, it amazes you, it's astonishing. Whether it's about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is so beautiful, you enjoy it. Brilliant seerah. Where it's the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it's random topics, then the care Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes for such little things, and how the most minutest of things, things you which wouldn't cross your mind, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has even told us about those things. Or the intelligence of the people who have the ulama, the scholars who have extrapolated such rulings from the glorious Quran. And you think, wow, really wow. And this is what our deen is, our religion, alhamdulillah, is beautiful. But whatever question there is, alhamdulillah, you can always find an answer for it. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, today, inshallah, and this is the purpose of Madani Channel. This is the purpose of Rise and Shine, to teach you a little about your deen, about your religion. And every single day we begin by listening to the glorious Quran. We begin by listening to the Quran as well as the translation of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahli Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his translation of the glorious Quran as well as the Quran. Remember, whilst the Quran is being recited, try to put other things to his side and give your full attention to the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
انما ولیکم اللہ ورسوله والذین آمنوا الذین یقیمون الصلاة ویؤتون الزکاة وهم راکعون
تمہارے دوست نہیں مگر اللہ اور اس کا رسول اور ایمان والے کہ نماز قائم کرتے ہیں اور زکات دیتے ہیں اور اللہ کے حضور جھکے ہوئے ہیں
وَمَن يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ
اور جو اللہ اور اس کے رسول اور مسلمانوں کو اپنا دوست بنائے تو بے شک اللہ ہی کا گروہ غالب ہے۔
یا ایھا الذین آمنوا لا تتخذوا الذین اتخذوا دینکم ہزوا ولعبا من الذین اوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم والكفار اولیاء۔
اے ایمان والو، جنہوں نے تمہارے دین کو ہنسی کھیل بنا لیا ہے وہ جو تم سے پہلے کتاب دیے گئے، اور کافر، ان میں کسی کو اپنا دوست نہ بناؤ۔
واتقوا اللہ ان کنتم مؤمنین،
اور اللہ سے ڈرتے رہو اگر ایمان رکھتے ہو۔
وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا،
اور جب تم نماز کے لیے اذان دو تو اسے ہنسی کھیل بناتے ہیں۔
ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ،
یہ اس لیے کہ وہ نرے بے عقل لوگ ہیں۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ دی ویورز آف رائز اینڈ شائن، الحمدللہ عز و جل، وی ہیو لسنڈ ٹو دی گلوریس قرآن ایز ویل as the translation of the glorious Quran. Now, subsequent to the glorious Quran, we listen to the naat of the greatest of mankind. Really, when I say these words, think about them. The greatest of mankind, he really is the greatest of mankind. The peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's move on to the naat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔
مدینہ اس لیے عطار، جانو دل سے ہے کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق، جسے عشاق کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق، وہ ہے صحرا تیرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے۔
مدینے میں بلا سبز گنبد کے، مدینہ کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے۔
گناہ گاروں کی جانب سے خطاؤں پر خطائیں ہیں، گناہ گاروں کی جانب سے خطاؤں پر خطائیں ہیں، مگر تجھ سے عطا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے۔
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے، بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے۔
فرشتوں کا جھو سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے؟ فرشتوں کا جھکا سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے؟ تیرا ہی نور تھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے،
مدینے میں بلا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے، بدوں کو بھی نبھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے۔
گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی، گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی، نظر فرما ذرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے،
مدینے میں بلا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے، بدوں کو بھی نبھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے۔
وہ روزہ جس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربان، وہ روزہ جس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربان، ان آنکھوں سے دکھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے،
مدینے میں سبز گنبد کے، بدوں کو بھی نبھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے۔
خدا ہے تیرا واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر، خدا ہے تیرا واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر، کرے تیری ثنا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے،
مدینے میں بلا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے، بدوں کو بھی نبھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے، سبز گنبد کے، سبز گنبد کے۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ Many viewers of Madani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, our studio has just become brighter, mashallah azza jal, with the illuminous guest, none other than our respected mashallah Harun Rashid bhai. May Allah ta'ala bless him, grant him the true happiness in this world and the akhirah. Firstly, Harun bhai, mashallah, jazakallahu khaira for joining us. Harun bhai, our today's topic is your neighbors. Now, I will go personal. We like to get personally here. So, inshallah, we will get to that. But before that, Harun bhai, I was talking generally, as I was introducing the program, and I was mentioning as to how beautiful, generally, you find the teachings of Islam are, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are. You know, even if you were to look at the neighbors, the companions, they said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak of the neighbors so much that we thought he might make them our heirs. He might make the neighbors the inheritors. This is how much Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the respect and the honor of the rights of the neighbors. What would you say about this, Harun bhai?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shabazz bhai, this concept of neighborhood, let me give you a very intellectual insight into this. You know, in the latter part of the last century, end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century, there was a lot of movement in Europe towards recognizing the rights of your neighbors.
You said the last century. I was quite confused then.
Yeah, the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century. And then there was, in the last century, the early 1925-ish, I think it was, that there was some cases in courts. And what the senior courts, the House of Lords, etc., they gave judgments on cases. And they introduced what is called the neighbourhood principle. Now, obviously, as a barrister, we deal with these sort of things where you owe a duty of care to your neighbour. And it defines who your neighbour is.
Right.
And so we're looking at then from early quarter of 19th century through the last 60, 70 years, gradually this neighbourhood principle, as it's called, has developed to say, well, anybody who's affected by your actions or your inaction as well is your neighbour, whether it's somebody who lives close to you or further away, whoever you can affect. Now, this is now, and gradually we're getting to a stage where there is a duty of care to your neighbours.
Okay.
Right? Now, some people, they look at Islam, Shabazz Bey, through these red-coloured glasses. Now, the problem with red-coloured glasses is that if you're looking at the green grass, it's red. If you're looking at the blue sky, it's red. Whatever you look at, it's red. Until you don't look at Islam in its proper context, in its proper form, you will not see the beauty of Islam. And this is why when people do, scholars like yourself or those who have studied Islam, when they look at the principle of neighbourhood and those affected by your actions in Islam, they think, wow, how is this possible 1460 years ago when society didn't recognize the rights of its parents, never mind the neighbors? How is this possible 1460 years for somebody, to teach this and for Islamic society to accept this as the main standards and morals of society for the last 1460 years? Well, we're just getting to that stage now. It takes a judgment to say, this is your neighbor, the people affected by your actions. And yet when you look at the glorious Quran, it teaches you how to look after your parents. It teaches you how to be generous to the orphans. It teaches you how to treat those who are poor. It literally regulates your contact with those around you. A lot of people believe when you say your neighbors, Broshunke Hakuk, in effect, they think it's those who live next door to you.
Right.
I mean, Islam doesn't say that. There is that beautiful Haditha Mubarakah where I think it's 40 houses.
Yes.
40 houses. And that is just the mahalla. And it doesn't stop there. The generosity of Islam doesn't stop there. And the beauty of this, Shabazz Bey, is this. In the early days, today we try and convince our own relatives, our own brothers, to adopt a better way. And we don't get very far because our actions and our words don't go hand in hand. And a lot of us, we preach, but Kashi Allah Zujal gives us the tawfiq to amend our actions as well. But if you look at the great companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, har sahabi and Nabi jannati, and I'll give you an example of that. Go into your own household and you can't convince everybody to become pious.
No way.
Yet these amazing people of Allah azza wa jal, they walked into countries alone and they converted the whole country. Why? Because they knew what this principle was.
Some people would say, Harun Bhai, that it's easy to convert somebody else than your own parents and your own elder brothers.
At the end of the day, when you said that, I remember, it's the thought process. There was that famous Haditha Mubarakah where Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and his son said to him, I was in the battle and there were several times I could have struck you. But I didn't, thinking you're my father.
Yes.
And the great Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, if I'd seen you once, you wouldn't have survived because Allah and His Rasul are everything for me. You didn't matter. You are nobody. And this is their thinking. What we do is we don't adapt that in our lives. And that's why other things matter to us.
You see, Dear Harun Bhai, was something that comes to mind. One of the muftis of Dawat Islami, mashallah, mufti Dawat Islami. And I'm not going to mention the name. But they told us once that it's very, very difficult to convince your parents or to convince your elders in your immediately the nuclear family. And he gave us an example. He said, what happened once was my father, he asked me a question. And I told him that this is the answer to the question. And then he didn't believe me. So he went and asked somebody else a question. That person came and asked me the question. I gave the other person the same answer. He went and told my father, then my father accepted it.
You see, there are certain situations where you've got to adopt what they call hikmat amali, a wisdom behind it. So there will be situations where, for example, your brother, because if we were like the great Sahaba Ikram or the Tabi'in, their hearts were pure and clean, right? Yeah. Our hearts are, you know, alhamdulillah, the Madni environment of Dawat Islami has helped us a lot to try and take out all this ranj and, you know, all the bad thoughts. And everything. What we do, and I don't want to digress from our topic, but what we do is this. I will develop some sort of enmity towards you, and I won't know why it is. It's subconscious, but the shaitan comes and instills these thoughts into me. Right. Because I haven't studied, I haven't read the translation of the glorious Quran, I haven't read Sirat al-Jinan, the tafsir, the commentary of the Quran, my mind is very weak, so it'll take that on board. So the next time you're saying something, say for example, you know, you buy a nice car, or you have a nice, you know, you have a nice iPad or something like that, what will happen is this: I will be jealous of you. But I won't know, because I'm uneducated almost in Islam, in spirituality terms. So I think these are my thoughts. They're not actually. What the shaitan has done is very cleverly instilled these thoughts into me. So I will probably have a go at you. I'll probably say nasty things to you. And then afterwards I'll think, why did I do that? You know, once I've got it out. And what it is, you haven't stopped those thoughts building up in your mind. The first time that a thought comes into my mind against your husband, I should say to myself, why? Why is it? Why am I? Where's this come from? What has happened? Stop in your tracks. And the Buzurgan Adin said, go and do wudu, read la hawla wa la quwwata, read different things. Right. The last two, Surah Mubarakah, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. You know, these Surah Mubarakahs, these will help you get over this. What we do is we adopt this thought process and we take it further. Mm. And that affects, you know, coming back to our neighborhood principle, your neighbor, if he's doing well, you should be happy for them.
Yes.
But unfortunately, in our society that we live in, we're not. You know, in the true Islamic era, if your neighbor was doing well and people were, you know, really happy, and if he was bad, they tried to help him. Or if he was poor, they spent their lives trying to help him.
Harumba, there's something else too. Now, I'm just wondering, do you know when for example, our parents, grandparents, for some, it may even go further. But when they were living in the Indian subcontinent, neighborhood at that time, Harumbai, and what we consider to be, or what we say, or the state of the neighborhood in this day and age, anything coming to mind?
Sorry?
Neighborhood during the time of our grandparents, great-grandparents possibly, in the Indian subcontinent.
Well, it's a point that I did have in mind, because I remember my great-grandmother, Allah Azza wa Jalla give them a high place in Jannah.
Allahumma
ameen. What they used to do, now they had sons who were in England, so it was like, you know, they were living in Pakistan, and they had sons here, and these sons used to send money back and gifts back and everything else. Right. And you know, like you have the Buzurg who have a little, they used to have the big peti on the metal ones, and they have a padlock on it, and they used to put all the expensive stuff into into that one pot. And, you know, may Allah raise their ranks. They used to have this peti. And they used to, all the stuff that the sons used to send, the daughter-in-laws used to send, they used to throw into there. Now, a lot of people these days would gather and hoard that wealth. You know, my great-grandmother used to do, they were famous for this, was they would look for an opportunity to hand them out. So if somebody came into onto the court of the house and said, you know, can I have something for the sake of Allah? They'd go into this little, you know, treasure chest, and they would try and find the best thing they could find. And, you know, it was like in those money, England, the suit, yeah, you know, clothes from England, yeah, big deal. So they should take them out and give them to the... And people should say, what are you doing? You know, if the neighbor had a problem, yeah, and needed money, they didn't wait for the neighbor to come to them. They used to go and say, I found out that you're in difficulty. Here's some money. And this was the true Islamic neighborhood principle. You see, the beauty about our elders was this. Their knowledge may not have been great.
No.
But their amal, their actual actions. I remember seeing my great-grandmother cleaning the plate completely, then putting water in the plate, making sure all the food comes off and then drinking it. Now, it's only when we traveled on the beautiful Madni Kaflas of Dawat-e Islami, right, and we learned that if you do that, you know, you get the reward of freeing a slave. And you used to see that. And then they never ate with spoons. They ate with three fingers. You know, they learned that and they stuck by it. We learn things and it goes through one ear and comes out the other.
Now, you're speaking about knowledge. Knowledge has increased, but so have all of these psychological problems, all these psychological illnesses, depression, etc. So yes, then people did not have knowledge, Harun Bhai. But what then people did have was true rights and respect of their neighbors. They were much closer to their neighbors. Many of us do not know who our neighbors are. Many of us, we do not even know who our neighbors are. Yes, we see them in the morning, possibly high at the door if we see them. But we may not even know their names when it comes to our neighbours. But in them days, neighbours were, and they're considered family, aren't they? Harun Bhai, those people who are from your village back in Pakistan, what will they say? We're related, somehow we're related. So this is the closeness they would possess. This is how close they would be to each other. And then they would really truly respect each other. If there's any problem, it would be considered like my own mother's ill. And you know, they would drive them to hospital, whatever it may be. This was neighborhood, but now, Harun Bhai, the reality is that we don't have that no more. You know, anybody's moving into your next door house.
We don't care. You see, I'll tell you what can affect it. There was a brother in Bolton.
Right.
He lived a few doors away from the mosque, literally just at the back of the mosque. And he'd been there for some time. And what happened is one of his neighbors gave him a CD, Islamic Tilawat of the Quran or translation. And he says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, he was blessed with the treasure of Iman. He came in, and I always say this guy's, you know, a very pious person and a Jannati. The reason being, since he's come into the fold of Islam, he praises all his salahs in mosque. Right. And then as well as that, he cleans the mosque, he cleans the bathroom, he cleans the toilet, he does everything, right, mashallah. And this was it was a non-Muslim. Somebody gave him, one of his neighbors gave him a CD. And he says, I asked him once and he said, look, they gave me this CD, it was in my car, it was there. And one day when I was coming back from work or somewhere, I put it in, I started to listen to it. And he goes, something just descended on me. And I thought, this is right. This is right. And he accepted Islam, yeah? And since that, last 15 years, he's been the Parosi of the Masjid. He's been the neighbor of the Masjid. Yes. But what a beautiful neighbor for the house of Allah, because he spends maximum time there, you know, cleaning and praying and everything else. His life evolves around the yes, house of Allah. He's very, very fortunate. And, you know, we think that, mashallah, you know, he is a great asset to the Deen of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's an example. You know, a lot of people come up to me and say, ya gosh, we were like him. We wish we were like him. Yeah. And so, you know, this treasure of Iman he really values. And so that's neighbours. Neighbours can do a lot. We don't kind of come out to our shell now. The only time we do come
this
out...
This is, Harun Bhai, this is the next question I was going to pose to you, that sometimes you can just move to another neighbourhood. You'll get a house in the middle of nowhere, where you don't know anybody. You don't know the people around you. Now, you were to go to such a place, how could you interact with your neighbours?
The most beautiful way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned was that when you cook food, cook a little more and send it to your neighbours. Now, if you do these kinds of things...
In this day and age, would you do this? This, you know, everybody has food.
No, it's not about...
People have their different times also. People are working.
Yeah, it's not about the actual food, not in this country, because they're not poor. Yeah. But I tell you what, the gesture goes down so well. I remember when we were young, we used to do it in the old place we used to live. And it used to be one of those things where... And it was beautiful. You know, don't get me wrong. We had about... On the street, we had 8 to 10 apne houses.
Yes.
And they used to cook. And Shamla, what have you made? Oh, we've made dal. And they
Alhamdulillah, we had the same with my mother too.
They send a plate of dal. Yes. You send a plate of this. They send a plate of sabzi. You send a plate of... And it was beautiful. So within these 6 or 7 houses there were, and I still remember because we were young then, and there used to be this every evening, this bit of a swap, yeah? So you had, everybody was eating like 3-4 different dishes. And it was beautiful. And it brought you closer as well. And what gradually happened is as we became more affluent, as we became, you know, more pompous, as they say.
Right.
Because this is the problem. You know, when you're poor, when you are surviving, and Allah has given you enough, but you haven't got that extra, You are very friendly with your neighbors. You are very good with your relatives. You don't move out of the areas that the Muslims are in. The problem comes is when we, even if we have good neighbors, a lot of people, what they'll have, you speak to them and they say, Alhamdulillah, you know where I am, it's beautiful, but the house hasn't got a big garden, or it's not big enough. So I'm moving from this area to this posh area because it's a bit up status. But yet you'll be miles away from the masjid. Well, that's one of those things, isn't it? But you'll be miles away from your relatives. Well, that's one. And they almost ostracize themselves. And, you know, you should check what who your neighbors are before you move anywhere and what you're losing. Because sometimes, and there's very many stories about our pious predecessors where they've said, my most valuable asset is my neighbor. You know, Allah. My neighbor is my most valuable asset. I don't want to move from here because I've got such great neighbors. And yet we don't care about that anymore. And you'll move into a new place and you might end up next to the neighbor from hell who kind of does your head in. And then you think, what have I done? I've lost, you know, and it's too late. So whenever you move, you should, you know, check who your neighbors are. But it's not just that. You see, right. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's famous hadith in Mubarakah in relation to a person being on the deen of his friend. Who is your friend? Effectively, he's your neighbor, isn't he? Mm. Because that neighborhood principle encompasses this. Now, if you're with the wrong people, you could be ruined. If you're with the right, if I'm with you, I will go to the Jamia, I will read my namaz, I will read the Quran, I'll learn something. But if I'm with, you know, somebody who's on the wrong path, the chances are he will corrupt me. So your neighbors, your friends, all dictate who you are. You know, as kids, you remember this as well. You know, parents used to say, oh, bura saatna rakho, you know, don't keep bad friends, And we used to turn around and say when we were young, no, Abaji, it's not them, it's how strong you are, and I'm strong, and I, you know. And honestly, I'm sat here now having been through it, and I tell you, there's no better advice than that. Stick with the right people. If you're with the wrong people, no matter how strong you are, how good you think you are, no matter what, you will end up doing the wrong thing. At the very minimum, what the shaitan will do is, even if he can't make you do good, he'll put you with the wrong people and make you neutral. What the shaitan, the way the shaitan works is this, that he will try and make you do a big guna. If he can't, he'll make you do a smaller one. If he can't, he'll say, okay, sit on the fence. And there's so many youngsters who are probably watching us who think, I don't do anything wrong. I don't go to the clubs. I don't do anything. I've not got bad friends. I stick to myself. But they don't read namaz. They don't read the Quran. They don't serve their parents. So what the shaitan's got is actually, he's got them exactly where he wants them. Because he's saying, well, you're not enjoying in the kind of a kuffar sense, the disbeliever sense, you're not enjoying the life of this world. Right. You're not maximizing it. But at the same time, you're not doing anything good as well. You're sat on the fence, you're neutral, you're wasting your life. So if, alhamdulillah, you've been blessed to stay away from sins, if you've been blessed to stay away from all the wrong things, the intoxication, the drugs, then at least give yourself the honor and the pleasure and the dignity of standing in the court of Allah five times a day, reading the glorious Quran, and it's an amazing book. You know, when you read it, it opens up your mind.
MashaAllah. Do you know, whenever I mention the recitation of the glorious Quran, alhamdulillah, I always think of you. This is without exaggeration. I think possibly every single time, MashaAllah, I always think of you. I'm not going to mention the reason. I've mentioned the reason on Madani channel, but I'm not going to mention it right now because you are here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all love for reciting the glorious Quran. My dear viewers of Madani channel, we are going to move to our first segment, the daily reminder. Remember, this is something which we can take away with us. Try to make our day a better day. Try to act, implement this one little thing in our day. Inshallah, it will make our day much brighter. But if it was, let's listen to our daily reminder. Sallu alal habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Once a wealthy man, he went to a village and he met with this farmer who wasn't really that much educated. And the wealthy businessman, he said to the farmer that, I would like to do business with you. And the farmer, he says that, what kind of a business? And the wealthy man, he says that, I've got a proposal for you. I will invest all the money, but I want you to be working in the fields. Whatever crops you want to have, that will be fine by me. So they sat down and they had a condition. And the wealthy man, because he was clever and he thought that he's doing a slave and a trick on him, he did a cunning trick on that farmer. And he says to the farmer that the condition is, whatever is below the earth belongs to you. Whatever is above the earth, it belongs to me. So the wealthy businessman, he had this agreement. He gave the money to the farmer who bought some seeds and he started to sow them seeds. And when the crop was about to come out, the wealthy businessman, he went back to that same village. He met up with the farmer and he says to the farmer that, what crops have you put down this time? And the farmer, he says, I sowed onions. Now, onions, when they grow into the soil. So the agreement was done that whatever is below the soil, it belongs to the farmer. Whatever is above the soil, that belongs to the wealthy businessman. So the wealthy businessman, when he saw that the farmer had sown seeds of onions, he was shocked. So he said to the farmer that, I'd like to do business with you again. Now this time, whatever is below the earth, it belongs to me. Whatever is above the earth, it belongs to you. So the farmer agreed. And this time, he put some seeds of sugar cane. Now sugar cane, it grows on top of the earth, yani it grows upwards, not downwards into the soil. So the farmer, after a few months, came back to see how the crop was doing. And he met up with the farmer and he says to him that, what have you sown this time? And the farmer says that, I put in sugar cane. Now again, the wealthy businessman was struck by this, that this farmer has done it to me twice. Now, can you see that he is trying to con and, you know, trying to put out the farmer into a difficulty. He's trying to put the farmer into the difficulty. But what happens all the time? It's he himself who gets into difficulty. So when he sees that the crop is above the earth, so obviously that share will go to the farmer. In the ground, there is nothing. So the farmer, he's quite happy that he's got his cultivation. And he says to the wealthy businessman, or the wealthy businessman says to the farmer that, I want to do a business with you last time. I've lost out twice. Now I want to do a business with you again. This time, whatever is below the ground will be mine. Whatever is above the ground will be mine. In the middle, that will be yours. And the farmer, he says, okay, no problem. So he started to sow some seeds. And this time, the farmer, what did he do? He put some grain inside. Now what happens? Grain, you have the bottom part and you have the top part. The middle part is where the grain is. Again, when the crop was produced, the crafty wealthy man, the crafty wealthy businessman happily reached the field in the hope that this time only he would benefit. But after reaching the field, he was shocked to see that the farmer had grown maize whose upper and lower parts are valueless. And the middle part has the real worth. Therefore, the wisdom of the farmer defeated the craftiness of the wealthy man. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that whatever you think good for yourself, always think good for someone else. It depends on a person whether they use this thinking, this blessing that Allah ta'ala has given them. You know, for someone to be clever, that is a blessing. Are you going to use this blessing for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and benefit yourself and make other people benefit? Or are you going to use your brain or your clever thinking for the benefit of yourself and to put other people into problem? Inshallah Azza wa Jal, from this story, we remember and we are reminded that always think good about other people as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. We've had our daily reminder from our respected Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib. May Allah ta'ala bless him. Now, my dear viewers, today's topic, today we have been speaking about neighborhood, about neighbors. MashaAllah, we've heard so much from Harun Bhai, generally in terms of neighbors, in terms of how to deal with neighbors, how our elders would deal with neighbors. And Harun Bhai, I think this is one of those things which, you know, there are many things we wish to give to our children. And we say, you know, I wish to give my children, and you ask why. You know, you might be spoiling them. Why are you giving them so much? You think, I never had that, I want to give them that. Because I never had this. So we are always busy giving our children the things we did not have, but we are forgetting to give our children the things that our parents gave us.
The etiquette, the manners.
Exactly, respect of elders.
Respect, you know, of elders.
Definitely we're losing.
That's definitely a big problem.
Now, Harun Bhai, in terms of Sharia now, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's examples, from the glorious Quran, the teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because as I mentioned, before we ever heard of rights of parents or rights of anything, Alhamdulillah, Islam had given us this a very, very long time ago.
That's where I started. And, you know, in the last kind of half an hour, what we put before is generally what the society and the norms and the standards are in relation to neighbourhood and how you treat your neighbour, the neighbourhood principle. And, you know, I outlined that. Now let me bring it back to the reality of the situation. This is the glorious Quran, Surah Nisa, part 5. And what it says is this. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully, because it says, and worship Allah and associate none with him, and be good to parents and to relatives and to orphans and to the needy and to the near neighbor and to the distant neighbor and to the close companion and to the traveler and to your male and female slaves. Indeed, Allah does not like the arrogant, the boastful. But this ayah mubarakah is absolutely amazing. In light of what we've just discussed for the last half an hour, tell me, does not this ayah mubarakah actually encompass everything that society has today? It shows you that the principle of neighborhood that society can develop can never be as good as what the glorious Quran has given us. Because everybody who's affected by us is our neighbor. So whether it's our attitude, and this is why the famous hadith of mubarakah, smiling, Allah, you know, it is sadaqah, and this sadaqah is the beauty of it. And then when you look at the tafsir, you know, it says here in the tafsir to this ayah mubarakah that the neighbors are those who are attached to your house, your distant neighbors, your relatives, all of these people, you know, the Muslims around you, all are included in your neighborhood. And so this is very, very important that we understand that Islam doesn't say it's just your next door neighbor this side and next door neighbor this side. I mean, I was reading the Fazilat and Fazail and the benefits and the blessings of Ayatul Kursi. And right, I think in one of them it said that when you read that, it not only protects your home, yes, but the houses of all your neighbors. I mean, look at the Islamic concepts. You read a dua to protect yourself and to go to sleep in peace. And the blessing of that glorious ayat of the Quran is that you know that not just my house, the houses of my neighbors are blessed as well and protected as well. And this is the concept that Islam gave. You know, you've obviously heard and taught in relation to salam. When you give salam to somebody, what you say to them is, you know, your possessions, your wealth, your family, everything is in my protection now. You know, I am responsible for them. And this is the neighborhood principle that Islam does. And Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi very beautifully, he says this. He says, the rights of your neighbors are different. To give them salam, not to have long conversations with them, not to ask too many questions in relation to the circumstances, to inquire about their health and ill health. Now, the problem we have is this. We spy on our neighbors. We want to know what the arguments are about, what the kids are doing, whether his kid did well in school. Now, if the child doesn't do well, what we'll do is we'll find out and I'll come and tell you, Shahaz Bey, you know, Flan, or his kid failed in school. But if he got a first class degree, why don't I do the same? Why don't I come to you and say, Shahaz Bey, bari khushi ki baat hai. It's something really, really, you know, brings happiness to my heart. You're my next door neighbor. Even though my child was average, his came first, man. I'm very happy for him. That is what our pious predecessors did. But we don't do. What we do is we investigate our neighbors. We spy on them. We look for petty excuses to, you know, do ghibat and backbite them.
Yes, and sometimes things which are not even shameful, we'll speak about them as if there's anything wrong with it. You know, sometimes a person is doing something which there's nothing wrong with it. In Sharia.
Yeah.
But just due to that hatred we may possess, that envy, for these reasons we'll highlight, oh, this is what he did.
You know, our pious predecessors, you've heard the famous story about Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa and his neighbor and how he used to, you know, really inflict kind of almost torture on him. He used to do bad things and he used to annoy him and everything else. But Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to be very patient. And when the neighbor got arrested, who goes to the police station to bail him out? It was the great Imam himself, you know, who went there and bailed him out. And there was a famous waqia, and I forgot the name of the pious Buzurg rahmatullahi alayhi, who was living next door to a Hazrat Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi. He was living next door to a non-Muslim, and what this guy did was he used to take all the rubbish, all the dirty water and the sewage water, and put it into his gutter, because he lived below him, next door to him. And every day, the great sheikh used to clean it all away. So one day, the guy comes to him and he says, "Don't you get annoyed by what I'm doing? I'm throwing all this dirty water towards you." And the great Hazrat Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, "No, I'm not annoyed." He says, "Why? All this filthy water is entering your house." He says, "I just simply sweep it away." And he asked, "Why don't you get angry?" And Hazrat Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi alayhi, quotes the glorious ayat of the amazing Quran, Surah Ali Imran, verse 134. "And who restrains anger, who pardons men and virtuous people are dear to Allah Azza wa Jal." So having heard this, you know the impact Shabazz Bey had upon this non-Muslim. He thought, what an amazing person. For so long, I have been sending this dirty water into your house. He's been simply patient and cleaning it up. And even today when I confront him, in the sense that I want to kind of, you know, show him who's boss. Mm. He says, "I'm being patient for the sake of Allah." He accepted Islam.
Allah.
This non-Muslim next door, he accepted Islam. This is what neighborhood was. What we've done is we've twisted it. You know, the minimum that we should do is make sure that we don't harm our neighbor. But at the moment, we're out for opportunities to defame them, to look. And this is the problem. Islam, you know, wherever the Sahaba Ikram went, what I said is Sahaba Ikram, wherever they went, Islam spread beautifully. The reason we're not reaching those heights, or we're not touching those heights at all, is because our words and our actions don't go together. We might talk the talk, but our actions don't follow.
Allahu Akbar, mashallah, you've harumba so much there. But just one thing I would like to touch upon is you're mentioning the rights of the neighbor, or if a neighbor troubles you. Now, if a person does not trouble his neighbor, the neighbor does not trouble him, even though nobody's harming each other, they're both fine, they're living their own life, these people are not respecting the rights of the neighbors.
SubhanAllah.
Because one thing, one right of the neighbor is to, you know, bring ease to the second, but another part of it is to accept or bear the trouble of the neighbor.
SubhanAllah.
Imam Ghazali says, one of the rights of your neighbors. And this is something which is really, really beautiful, Harumba, because nowadays, in particular areas, it does get difficult. You know, I've heard of people complaining that, oh, and this is what they're doing, and they're doing this till late night. And, you know, at that time, this was not in my mind. I've just read it and I was thinking, wow. Like, you generally would say to the person, if somebody was to say to you, oh, every single night they are, you know, making so much noise, my kids can't sleep, they are putting on music, they are doing this wrong, they're doing that wrong. And you would think, you know, complain, you have that right to complain, yeah? You call the police or something. Mm-hmm. This is generally what you would say. But Imam Ghazali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells us that part of the rights of your neighbor is for you to bear any trouble he gives you.
Allah.
And then there's that perfect example of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. That person would, outside his house, play music. He would be possibly dancing to music. He would be intoxicated. And this would affect Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But yet, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not reciprocate in, you know, in a manner which was harsh, not at all. But rather, he saved him. Mm-hmm. So Harun Bhai, now if somebody asks, somebody's, you know, really, it is intriguing, it is quite shocking. As I was saying, that it is amazing, isn't it? The rights, the teachings which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. So now if somebody thinks, what if life does get difficult? You know, neighbors are causing a problem. What can we do?
I, That's a very good question. And just before I come to that, I just want to read, because you mentioned the great Hazrat Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah. Hazrat Imam Ghazali was truly amazing. Because when you read the books of Hazrat Imam Ghazali, radiallahu ta'ala, what you find is that he can get into the person's thought process. And a lot of pious people who read his books, yeah, and I'm sure you've had the honor and the privilege as well, and I've had a little bit. What happens is you think, he's thinking the way that the brain works. His analysis is absolutely perfect. And sometimes it even brings a smile to your face.
Imam Ghazali radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the mujaddid of his time.
Amazing.
Imam Ghazali, his works, many of his works you will read, you will not be able to understand.
He's just, from what I read in relation to, you know, cleaning the heart or backbiting.
Yes.
And, you know, Islah Nafs, yeah, they're absolutely mesmerizing.
Brilliant.
I mean, anybody who's watching Madni Channel, I would say go and, you know, download these books.
Ihya'ul Ulum
is available on davatislami.net. And go down, download these and start reading them. They are truly amazing books. They'll put you in touch. This is a very important word. They'll put you in touch with yourself. You will know who you are when you read the books of the great Sheikh. And you know what he says? He gives a list that I just wanted to run through because it will help us.
Right.
When your neighbor is ill, inquire about their health. When they are in difficulty or upset, console them. Give them nice words. When they're in difficulty, help them. When they are joyous moments, if there's happiness, then congratulate them. Participate in their joyful occasions, obviously within the boundaries of Sharia. Forgive their mistakes, which is what you were coming to, because at the moment we're not prepared to even, you know, do anything, but they will make mistakes. You look, the household we live in, Shabazbi, we make mistakes, our brothers make mistakes. And what we do is we'll have our little rant and rave and then we'll forgive, won't we? But with neighbours, these enmities carried on for years, yeah?
Yes.
You know, 5 years ago, his kid pushed
people
my kid.
Leave their house.
Yeah. So. And so forgive, learn to forgive. Do not peep into the neighbor's house. There's one very important point here. As neighbors, what Islam taught us and Islam teaches us, and the beautiful teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that your neighbor's daughters are your daughters. Your neighbor's sisters are your sisters. You know, never look at, and a lot of Buzurgani Deen, they've taken many, many different sayings. I think it was Hazrat Luqman Hakim. And their sayings, and somebody said, one of the great scholars said that having dissected all of the sayings, the one of the most important, he took a few that were most important, and one of those was, you can never look at the family of your neighbor with a bad eye. Now today, we expect nobody to look at my daughter, my sister with the wrong eye. But am I doing that with my neighbor? This is wrong. When you're, you know, your neighbor, whether it's a Muslim or non-Muslim, doesn't mean you don't need to protect your eyes. Whoever your neighbor is, you need to protect your eyes. And if you know, if your neighbor, even if it was a non-Muslim, saw that every time, you know, this person doesn't look with the wrong nigah, he keeps his gaze lowered, that has an amazing impact on your neighbors as well. And, you know, those, I would say, and I'm going to use harsh words, despicable. And are those people who live next door to people and then, you know, look at their neighbours. And when your neighbour, I don't mean you're exactly your next door, I might be up the street.
Should be in the street.
But, you know, and those who look at their own relatives, you know, because of this society we live in and the social media, you got a lot of youngsters who go onto the internet and they look at these things and then they try to, you know, implement them. And they start writing and texting and all this rubbish, yeah? And were they doing it? I mean, they shouldn't do it at all. Mm. But they start, you know, they start from their neighbours and they start, you know, and it's pathetic and it's not Islamic. In Islam, if you look at the history of Islam, every single person within a village, the protection of the daughters of that village was the responsibility of every one of them. They would give their life for it. This is what Islam taught us.
And have given their
lives. And have given their lives for them. And yet, how... I don't think there's an equivalent word of begherat in English, but
that's a brilliant question.
It's a strong word, but how bad have we got that our own, you know, my neighbor's daughters aren't safe from me? That's how far we've fallen. My neighbor should be able to go wherever he wants, knowing that you are there as a guardian. And if anything happened while he's away, you would protect their daughters, their sisters, their mothers, like you would protect your own. Yeah. That's what you want your neighbor to do. And so that this point that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi makes is a very important one. And Amir al-Sundan Dawud Barakatul Aliyah actually puts it in the Madni Namat card as well. So it's so important. Don't trouble them by putting things over walls or, you know, shared walls, everything else. Don't narrow pathways. Don't gaze into their homes. Don't find faults on them. Don't show negligence towards safeguarding their houses. Don't listen to anything against them. That's another beautiful point. This is why Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is so brilliant. He's so amazing. Don't even listen to anything wrong about them, because it can't then pollute your mind. And again, he mentions again here, lower your gaze for their women and speak softly to their children. And if they need guidance in religious matters or worldly matters, you should guide them accordingly. Mm-hmm. These are the rights of the neighbors. So, you know, amazing. The more you read Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, the more you fall in love with him. He's such an amazing personality. But it gives us, you know, in those kind of list of, it gives us really our moral for behavior that we should have.
MashaAllah, Harumba, Jazakallahu khairan for your time, for everything. But dear viewers, MashaAllah, he mentioned Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But what you must understand is Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a great lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these things which Harumba has mentioned, inshallah, first we will go to our next segment, and then we'll mention from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. And undoubtedly, these are all taken from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if it was the daily hadith sharif, remember, this is a hadith sharif. Generally, we quote people, but the greatest of all speakers, the greatest in every single manner, in every single way, was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's listen to the words of this great individual, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
It is mentioned in Tirmizi, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most complete in terms of faith are those who have the best character. And khiyarukum, the best among you, are those who are the best with their women, meaning their wives. So for us, it's a lesson that if we want to be the best in terms of iman, in terms of faith, then we have to adopt good character. Our character, our nature, our behavior should reflect the fact that we have adopted good character and learnt from the prophetic way. And another reflection of being good or being among the best is that we are good with the women of our household, or in this respect, the wife. So if a husband is bad to his wife, or does not treat her well in any way, or does not fulfill her right, he cannot be from those who are considered the best among the people. There may be people who are apparently very religious. They have religious outlook, religious appearance, they seem very good outside, but when they come home, they are completely different people. And it's a lesson for them especially, and for many others generally. Men must learn that true character or good character is seen or reflected outside of the home and within the home as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we heard the daily hadith sharif, and similarly, mashallah, we have heard many Madani pearls from our respected Harun Rashid bhai, who has had to leave us. Now, my dear viewers, our Harun bhai, mashallah, he mentioned Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the teachings of Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And really, Imam Ghazali is one of those individuals who has written many, many works. But he's one of those who, on various topics, many topics, so many topics, he has written works. And there are very few who have done this, my dear viewers. One of those was Imam Ghazali, who was a master of many sciences. But as I mentioned, that whatever they take, it is from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has been said that the Blessed Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that, "Do you know what the right of a neighbor is?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking to the companions, "Do you know what the right of a neighbor is?" And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says that when he asks you for help, help him. When he asks you for help, then help him. When he asks for a loan, then give him a loan. And when he is needy, give him. When he is ill, visit him to inquire about his health and condole him. And when he dies, attend his funeral. And do not make your building higher without his permission. SubhanAllah, really, my dear viewers. Do not make your building higher without his permission. Look at this. Nowadays, my dear viewers, whenever you wish to extend your building, your house, many a time you require, through legal means, you require the permission of your neighbor. 1400 years ago, over 1400 years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has taught us that never make your building higher without the permission of your neighbor. Really, subhanAllah. And then he continues that the reason being, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, because this may disrupt the air ventilation to his house. By you making your building higher, undoubtedly affects them in terms of the sunlight, affects them in terms of the air ventilation. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that do not hurt them with your food. Do not hurt them with your food. But give him something from it. That when you have food, what does it mean by do not hurt them? Sometimes what happens, and you know, you find this when you go to particular areas, you can smell the food. And sometimes you think of, you know, all the types of food which are being made, you smell possibly, you know, some have a strong smell to them, the chicken, the samosas, and you know that it's roast, it's these sort of foods. And when they smell, and this smell, you're opening the windows to the kitchen, and it's naturally it's going to go out, my dear viewers. And if the neighbor was to smell this, but the neighbor himself wasn't able to, or even those passing by, and they themselves were possibly hungry, they themselves were people who did not have food, you are hurting them. Because their smell, it's like you're teasing them. They can smell such nice food, but they cannot get a share of the food. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do not hurt your neighbor with your food, but give him something from it. And if you buy fruit, also present him some. And if you do not want to present it to him, meaning if you do not want to share it with him, then bring it to your home secretly. And your children should not go out with it, because it may grieve the children of your neighbor. SubhanAllah, really. When you are coming home with the shopping, and you have all this shopping, and the neighbors to see, he sees all those things, he also wishes, if only I had that. Now he's heard that other people, they have it, I don't have it. Don't hurt your neighbors by doing this, but bring it secretly. Take this into your house secretly so that nobody can see. If they don't know about it, it's not going to harm them. It's not going to hurt them. And then what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that do not allow your children to go out with it. What happens? Sometimes the parents, they've gone to the shop, they've bought ice creams. They've bought, you know, lollies, all sorts of things, sweets. And what happens? Those children, they don't like to eat in the house. They want to go show it to everybody that, yes, we have lollies, we have sweets, we have all of these things, ice creams. They want to go and eat it. They want to tell the neighbor, look what I've got. Now, if those neighbors of yours are not able to afford it, or maybe they've decided not to get it for the good of their child, but the children, when they see other children eating such foods, having such sweets or whatever they may be, then them children would wish, if only I had that. They would wish, if only I had that, or this person, he has lollies, he has sweets, they would want some. This is bringing harm to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, honestly, my dear viewers, really, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all creation. Nobody can ever match him. Nobody. His teachings are the greatest of teachings. In every single way, he's perfect, perfect. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. It said that once it was a companion. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he thinks, how he cares for every single person, something which would never cross your mind. A companion once came and the Muslims were sitting there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. And he asked, he says, has anybody seen my child? Now this person, he can't find his child. Imagine a person who would be destroyed, would be very, very sad. I can't find my child. Where's my child gone? I've not seen him. Have any of you seen my child? And the people, one person, he says, I remember he was playing with the children at such and such place. So then this person, he's going to rush to look for his child. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes him wait. And he says to him that when you do go and when you do find your child, then do not call out to him and say, oh my son. Do not say son. He must be thinking, why? You know, it's his child, it's his own son. You know, when he called, he says, son, come over here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when you go there, do not say son. Because from amongst those children, there may be an orphan. And when that orphan may hear you say son, then that orphan may feel bad. If only I had a father to call out to me in such a way, to call son to me. Allahu Akbar. Look how beautiful this is, the thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, let's listen to a kalam sharif inshallah in praise of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And then inshallah we shall continue with this hadith sharif. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi وعلى آله وسلم
يا نبي يا نبي يا نبي يا نبي يا حبيبي يا رسول الله 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 يا حبيبي
गया जो गदा हुआ ते سب سے بڑا ہوا تیرا لطف سب سے بڑا ہوا تیرا یا نور اللہ
واہ کیا مرتبہ ہوا تیرا تو خدا کا خدا ہوا
سب ہے بنا ہوا تیرا کون سب ہے بنا ہوا تیرا یا نور اللہ
واہ کیا مرتبہ ہوا تیرا تو خدا کا خدا ہوا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. My dear viewers of Modern Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, we have just listened to the praise of Rasulullah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم, and I was stating the hadith of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم, you know, about the children
that even if you were to buy these foods, don't let your children go out with them. Why? Because this will cause grief to the neighbor's children. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says again that, do you know the right of a neighbor? Do you know what the right of a neighbor is? By the one in whose power my life is. There are few who completely fulfill the rights of their neighbors. They are those who have the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who fulfill the rights of the neighbors are those people who have the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he constantly, this is what it said, that he constantly advised about the neighbors to the extent that people thought he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make their neighbors their heirs, their inheritors. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says that there are three types of neighbors. Like some people would say that, what if my neighbor's like this? What if my neighbor's like this? You know, my neighbor's a Muslim, my neighbor's not a Muslim. This is the state of my neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, how many rights are there of the neighbors? He states that there are three types of neighbors. Some have three rights, some have two rights, and some have one right. The neighbor who is a Muslim and he's also your relative, they have three rights. They have the rights of a Muslim. They have the rights of being your neighbor. They have the rights of a neighbor, and they also have rights of a relative. Islam has given rights to everybody, my dear viewers. These people also have rights. Just because he's a Muslim, he has certain rights. Just because he's your neighbor, he has particular rights. And just because he's your relative, he has particular rights too. So you must respect all of these rights. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a Muslim neighbor who's not your relative has two rights. And the right of a neighbor is, meaning a neighbor who is not a Muslim, a neighbor who is not a relative, is that of one right. So the rights, my dear viewers, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained, has mentioned already, just the rights of a neighbor, all of these things. And then the rights of a relative, Allahu Akbar, there are so many more. The rights of generally even a random, anybody, somebody you don't even know is a Muslim, even they have so many rights. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked about a woman. He says that there's a woman who she performs so many extra prayers on top of the prayers she must perform. There's so much more she performs. She reads many nawafil. She gives sadaqah. She performs this action. She does that action. But her neighbor is not happy with her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that she is a jahannami. That woman is a woman who is going to the fire of hell. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about another who she doesn't perform many nawafil. She doesn't perform, extra sadaqah, so many actions, but her neighbor is happy with her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this woman is a jannati. This woman is deserving of paradise. So Allahu Akbar. First are those things which are fundamental, those things which are the fara'id, which you must perform. But then, my dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person whose neighbor is happy with him, they are deserving of paradise. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, subhanallah, this is something which is, it's from those things. There are some teachings of Islam. There are many teachings of Islam, and they all hold their own importance. But from amongst them, there are some which are so, so comprehensive, and if they were to be acted upon, really it can change the entire world. There's some things where if you act upon just this one thing, it will change the world, the way the world runs. And one of those things, my dear viewers, is respect of the neighbor. Fulfilling the rights of the neighbor. If everybody was to fulfill the rights of their neighbors, we would have a peaceful world. If everybody was to fulfill the rights of their neighbors, people wouldn't be saddened. We would have happiness. It would rid of poverty. Everything will be solved. Just with this simple rule, the rights and acting upon the rights, fulfilling the rights of your neighbors, my dear viewers. It's said about a person known as Hatim al-Tai, who's from the Ta'i tribe. Now, Hatim al-Tai, my dear viewers, he's such a person who people would use him as an example. You know, if they were to say that this person is so generous, they would say, Akramu min Tai. This person is even more generous than Tai. And Tai is up there at the top. His generosity. And he said that this person, his own family, because it would be due to famine having struck their country, having struck their land, that his own family was hungry. His own family was hungry, but yet he had some animals too. They could not find no food. His children, he had two sons and a girl. They were very, very hungry, and he's put them to sleep in their hunger. You know, a person when he's very, very hungry, he's got nothing to do, he just falls asleep because he can't remain awake because he's feeling the hunger, he's feeling the pains of hunger. And what this person did, my dear viewers, was he just put them to sleep. And then he said he heard some sounds coming from the neighbors. A woman was shouting out loud and she has many children who have no food. And he says to his wife, call that person. She says, we do not have any food for ourselves. We just put our children to sleep. He says, but call her. You must give them something. They come and they sacrifice an animal for them. And he himself does not eat, but he makes them eat. And he awakens his own children too, for them all to eat. And he has been remembered. He has been remembered even by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's mentioned him in the Ahadith Sharif, that he has got what he wanted. And what did he do it for? He has got that, my dear viewers. Our actions should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person who will respect his neighbors, such a person will be successful. Really, because there's blessings in everything he does. And we are, subhanAllah, coming to a close of our program, my dear viewers. We always do end with a fund promo. Let's watch this, inshallahu azza wa jal, and then we shall conclude our program. Sallu alil habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
There are many ways to earn the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and reward from His court. Let me share with you an idea where you can earn huge amounts of reward. Yes. All you have to do is to support what you're watching right now. Yes, Madani channel. Imagine your donation will be used to raise the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, in order to mention the praise of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to mention the hamd of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and to say the naat of Mustafa, to explain the tafsir of Quran and sharaf hadith, to distribute the knowledge and wisdom to the world. You can imagine a great cause and its reward waiting for you in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You can set up a standing order onto these details and support your beloved Madani channel.
Dawat Islami UK Madani channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 4363 4560. IBAN GB67LOYD30977 BIC LOYD GB21087
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, please, and we should always be donating somewhere, the little amount, whatever we can, sometimes larger sums. But remember, whenever you do donate, please give towards the many works of Dawat-e-Islami. Now, alhamdulillah, we do have some calls, which is quite shocking, subhanAllah. Let's listen to these calls and then we shall continue.
and I'm from Dewsbury. I like watching Madani Channel and Rise and Shine. I hope you all the best and please make dua for me and my family. Jazakallah.
MashaAllah. The second call.
And I'm from Sheffield. This program is fun to watch for all the family. You brothers are giving a lot of time. May Allah increase you in knowledge and may Allah reward you highly. Jazakallah khairah. Dua for me and my family.
MashaAllah. Both have requested for dua. May Allah Ta'ala bless them. May Allah Ta'ala bless their families. May Allah shower His immense rahmat mercy upon them and their families. Now, mashallah, jazakallahu khairah for calling in, my dear viewers. I would like to leave you with one hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before we do conclude and end our program. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said that, I swear he is not a believer. I swear this person is not a believer. And then a third time, I swear that he is not a believer. The companions were thinking, who, Ya Rasulullah, you're stressing it so much. Three times the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. That, Ya Rasulullah, who is it you are talking about? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person whose neighbor is not safe from their wrongdoing, from their badness. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said three times, I swear that he is not a mu'min. He's not a believer. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the emphasis that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to neighbors. You too, please try to take something away from this. Just change. Just do one good action. Be even a smile, as we said, mashallah. Smile is a sadaqah. Smile at your neighbor. Give them salam. You know, send them some sort of gift, send them some sort of food. Even if it's once or twice, like for example, we have Eid twice a year. Even if you're just going to do an Eid, even then, the entire mood will change. It'll make their day. You've brought happiness to another Muslim. And they will think of you differently too, inshallah. But we do it, we should do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake alone. For the due to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having taught us this, my dear viewers. Continue to watch Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.